Podcast Viewfinder.
If you only do what you can do, you'll never be better than what you are.
But I like who I am.
You don't even know who you are.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And I'm Austin.
Welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 44.
44. That's like one of those things where you can switch it around.
And palindrome.
Yeah, that.
This is it's not our first. Palindrome.
Because we had 33 and 22 and 11.
Yeah, the same way forward and backwards.
And when we get to 101, which we will.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
So, we have with us a special guest today, Austin. Yeah. All the way from, where are you from?
I'm from originally Southern Illinois, but I go to USI over here in Evansville.
Ah,
see,
so a college student, so you're a senior USI, and what are you studying?
I'm studying sports management, which is broad stroke sports business for people who don't know what they want to do.
Ah, but you want to do something in sports.
Yeah.
So my roommate from college works for the Tampa Bay Rays, so maybe if I can give him a call and say, hey, Austin needs a job.
He'd take that.
But he does media relations and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Sets up all the interviews. He does more than that. I don't know what else he does. He tells me I can't.
That's it.
you're doing something. So we were going to try and Periscope this. For those of you that may have seen my Twitter feed, and for some reason, we were like redoing our internet here at church, and so it's not working out.
We're getting higher speeds. It's great.
So, yeah, hopefully. So maybe we can Periscope. It's like flashing weird. So I even put on my data and it still doesn't work. So I don't know what's going on. I apologize.
Somebody, we know it.
And usually I don't tweet out that we're going to Periscope. You know, I just do it. And then this time I was like, hey, maybe we'll get more people if I like tell them it's coming. And then
leaving them hanging.
I know.
Cliffhangers.
And then you go and totally redeem yourself. All right. Okay. So this is a podcast about worldview and about finding your worldview. And we look at the world around us, movies, video games, music, all that stuff, media, social media, news, and look at the worldview because everything pushes a worldview.
Yes.
From the billboards you see, the commercials you watch, all that stuff. Something that pushes a worldview. This podcast, we push a biblical worldview. So we want you to like be able to look at stuff and like think about it critically and all that. And so, but one of the big things in the news has been the Oscars.
Yeah.
Hashtag Oscars so white.
Yeah.
So, all right. Okay. So I got to give a little backstory. And if you've been listening, if you're a regular listener to the show, you've heard this, but I'm going to say it real quick. So when I was in college, my senior year of college, a lady came to our school, talked about white privilege. She was a white lady. Tell us about white privilege. Showed us a video. And then at the end, I was like, okay, how do I fight white privilege or whatever? Because it's about like that white people have a privilege, like have an advantage over people of minorities or whatever. So,
yeah.
So she said her example was if you're at the store and you're at the deli line and somebody asked you, hey, who's next? Are you next? And they ask to wait on you. And there is a like an African-American person or a minority person. And then you say, no, they were next. And
if they were next.
If they were next, yeah.
If they were, you don't want to lie.
Right. So I was like, okay, so just practice common courtesy or whatever.
Right.
Stuff. So
do the logical thing.
So I laugh because I'm like, when does this ever happen? First of all, like I'm rarely at the deli counter. And so this like we made fun of it.
Okay. You're rarely at the deli counter. Yeah.
What, right. How often do I go to a deli counter?
And I don't know.
So that's that very specific situation. So here's what happened. So Saturday, I worked out at the Y, did my little jogging.
Nice.
I went to the Old Fashioned Butcher Shop, which is fantastic, by the way. So I went because on Friday they didn't have the turkey I wanted. So I went 2 days in a row because they have turkey that's like nitrate free and it's all healthy for you. So I went back on Saturday, and I walk in and there's a black guy and two white ladies, and they're like looking at another part of the store. Like it's really small.
Yeah.
Right, this is a store. So there's the deli counter, and then right behind them is like another shelf, and so they're looking at that shelf. So I walk in, and then the lady's like, "Hey, can I help you?" And I said, "They were here first, like kind of like I thought they'd already been helped or whatever." And she's like, "Oh, I didn't know they were like because they weren't at the counter." So she's like, "Oh, okay, like can I help you?" And then the lady steps up, like, "Yeah, you can," and like ordered, and I was like, "Wait." The one thing, the white privilege. I defeated white privilege.
Good job. You're single-handedly. How long? Like when were you a senior?
That was, I graduated in 04. So
it would only take you 12 years.
12 years.
12 years and it happened.
12
Look
years
and
I defeated white privilege.
You know, it's taking people longer to do this.
As soon as it happened, I was trying not to laugh at the story. They're like, why is this guy stupid? So I texted James right after, and your brother was like, dude, I beat white privilege. I don't know. So I just thought it was so funny and ironic, but so let's talk about the Oscars real quick. So
the Oscars.
Austin, do you watch the Oscars? Are you?
I hear people talking about it, but I don't watch it.
So you never watch
it? Because
I recorded
protesting.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Because Austin is not white. Just kidding. He is. If we're Periscope, you
don't. They don't
white.
Know that.
Yeah,
he's Italian.
He sounds. Well, I keep saying that. Why do you say Italian? Because he has dark hair.
I had facial hair.
He did. He had like a goatee thing, and he looked like Raphael.
Oh, I can broadcast.
Hey,
okay.
There we go. So everybody who's listening.
All right, here we go.
This will be on tomorrow. So if you're online yesterday, Periscope, you know what Austin looks like.
All right, I think this is going to work. Oh, here we go. Oh, we're live now. Okay.
Is it on me or you?
Oh, wait. Oh, I didn't have my internet on, so I'm
data.
Trying to run out. Okay, I flipped it over to... There's Austin!
Hey,
James.
Austin! Sorry. So, clearly...
Austin.
Nobody's following us right now, but...
Clearly, he's not Italian. I don't know.
All right.
Could be. He could be in the mafia.
It looks really blurry on... I don't know what the...
Which side?
Forward-facing camera. So
yeah, because it's terrible.
Nobody's following. But maybe it's not working because I turned the internet back on. All right, so live viewers. Okay, anyways, all right.
So back to
the
Oscars.
Yeah, so I only watch them, like, just because. Like, nothing.
Wait, just because? So there's a reason to watch them?
Really that's someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, because...
It tries to be relevant.
Yeah, well, because I want to know, like, what's going on. This is acting weird. Okay.
We need to...
I'm turning this off.
We need to use Austin's GoPro so we can post this video later.
All right, I'm stopping the broadcast.
Yeah.
Sorry,
just,
it did not work.
It up somewhere.
Right? We don't have to do it now.
Okay.
But maybe in the
future. Periscope, you're not doing good for us. All right, so the Oscars. So
yes,
there's people
the
protesting the Oscars. Will and Jada Pinkett Smith. I heard they were breaking up, but I guess that wasn't true because they're still together.
This brought them back together.
Yeah. They're like, you know what? Our hatred for the Oscars kept our marriage alive.
Yeah.
So, and Spike Lee, like, they're protesting and all this stuff. Will Smith, he's like, my wife's not going. It would be awkward to show up with Charlize Theron. We've discussed it. We're part of this community. But at this current time, we're uncomfortable to stand there and say, this is okay. So, he said, so here's what he says. There's a position, this is Will Smith, that we hold in this community. If we're not part of the solution, we're part of the problem. And it was my wife's call to action for herself and for me and for our family to be a part of the solution.
Yeah.
So when he says that, it makes it sound like, well, my wife wants this, and so I don't want the tabloids to be true. But no, so I understand, like, you protest something that you are in disagreement with, but this lady, Stacey Dash, she's an actress and Fox News contributor, here's her take on it. She said, I think it's ludicrous because we have to make up our minds. Either we want segregation or integration. If we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the Image Awards where you're only awarded if you're black. If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard. Okay, so your thoughts on that quote. Do you think that's a true statement or not?
Yeah, but, I mean, Stacey.
Stacey Dash?
She's probably white, isn't she?
What?
Is she white?
No, I don't think so. No, it says black. She's a black entertainer.
Oh, okay.
It definitely brings a lot of attention to it. Just the fact that there is a awards or there's a show that you can only qualify if you are the minority or you are black.
Yeah. So, which is great. Yeah. What you said. If it was the other way around, so if we were like, hey, the Oscars are only for white people. Yeah, like people would go bonkers. But when other minorities do it, and I know people are like, well. I don't know. Well, that goes back to the white privilege. Well, but white people get better roles, or white people get like this and that, and like have better like opportunities and all that.
Yeah.
So you could say that, and so that's why maybe the frustration comes from. Saturday Night Live spoofed this. Like, did you see that a couple of weeks ago? It, like, they were there's like And this guy is nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And so it's like this scene, it's like this intense, like these, like this, it's a black guy and a black girl and they're on the phone and they're like arguing and stuff. And then like this white guy gets on the phone and you're in the background and it's like, he's getting nominated for like voice acting for a white guy or something. So there's like all these like poignant, like black films, and then like some random white guy will walk by in the back like sweeping or something, and it's like, he got nominated and stuff. So
yes.
But then Viola Davis, she said that the problem is bigger than the Academy Awards. It's not with the Oscars, the problem is with Hollywood movie making system. How many black films are being produced every year? How are they being distributed? The films that are being made, are the big time producers thinking outside the box in terms of how to cast the role? So can you cast a black woman in that role? Can you cast a black man in that role? Davis also said, you can change the Academy, but if there are no black films being produced, what is there to vote for? And so the Academy is like changing all their stuff, right? They're changing it, and I don't even know what they're going to do differently, but yeah, they're changing it to make it more diverse and all this. But this is what we talked about like a couple weeks ago, just because, like, if I'm only nominated because of my skin color,
yeah,
like I want to be known, yeah, for my acting chops and all that stuff. And then, James, your brother brought up a good point that, like, this is all subjective anyway. It's not objective. Yeah. It's not like, okay, you have stats to go by, or like, oh, yeah, they've got this or that. Like, you don't, because the Oscars are just like, oh, what anybody likes. So stats don't matter, because the highest grossing movies of the year
don't win.
Yeah, there's, yeah, well, there's not even, they're not even up for Best Picture or any of that stuff. Force Awakens and that other thing.
Jurassic World. We're in the wrong category.
Jurassic World, yeah.
But and then, like, it's kind of, I'm like, well, if they change it, it won't be the Academy Awards anymore, because now they're just, what, pandering to the audience? Because you're just pandering to the people outside now, and you're not making your decision based off of unbiased, like, trying to not be influenced. Yeah. So I guess, for me, like, next year is especially to see what comes out, and then you're like, oh, well, look at all these films. I don't think any of those films should have even have made it in. They went ahead and threw them in anyway.
Yeah. And they're like, not going
to
win.
Yeah, I don't care about the Oscars anymore, because I'm like, they're just giving in. To
yeah, you don't want it to get to the point where it's just a guilt trip award.
Yeah.
I know. So, Oscar, after this, Oscars, I don't know. Like, it doesn't really mean as much as they used to anymore. So, okay. Enough of the Oscars. Oscar so white, hashtag. But yeah, so I wanted to bring that up because I beat white privilege this week.
You
so
did.
Take that, racism. All right, so James, we were talking today, and I don't know if you want me to bring this up on the air, but we're going to. So James goes, hey, can you go with me today? I need to run an errand. I was like, yeah, what do you need to do? He's like, I got to get my car washed. I was like, well, why do I have to go with you to get your car washed? He goes, because I'm scared. I'm scared of the car wash. Now, okay, I have a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they get a little nervous when they were, like, younger, 2 and 3. Like, they would cry in the car wash. So, was that you? Like, you've had this, were you scarred?
No,
as a kid?
When I was younger, it's great. You're like, oh, but I wouldn't be driving. I'm not in control. I don't have to worry about things going wrong. Like, breaking the car wash.
You don't drive. You
it's get, automatic.
Yeah, you drive up.
No, but I'm in the driver's seat. I have you no shift control, even neutral. If I, what, like, what if I mess up the paint? What if I mess the whole thing? What if I break the car wash?
Is your car that rough?
No, it's tiny. It's a little car.
He's got a semi truck. He's just driving through.
Oh, man.
Like, car wash.
Yeah.
I'll end up, like, the place will blow up. I'll leave and it'll be broken. And they're like, yeah, it's your fault.
Like, yeah, your car catches fire and then yeah, water is shooting out everywhere.
I don't even know. Like, I picture the worst happening
everywhere.
On these things. So I so, won't like
so you've never taken your car to a car wash. So you've washed it on your own.
Yeah, I'll go home and wash it. I'll spend an hour washing it myself.
Yeah.
And so, I'm like, man, this would be so much easier to just get it lightly washed. It takes 5 minutes. But you know what? I can't do that.
Okay. This has nothing to do with worldview, but I just want to make fun of you because
but it does.
You're
scared, it?
Like, you're a grown butt man. Like, how old you're 25.
Yeah,
25,
yeah.
25. You're not scared of like the big twirly
no,
things.
No, like I'm not like, oh man, that's gonna like kill me
as they come closer.
Yeah,
I'm afraid of the process of like messing it up.
Okay, I can understand that.
See, you're scared too.
So yeah, so I get it. I get you're dumb. All right.
okay, you're funny.
So let's talk about, so Facebook, TheVerge.com put out something interesting about Facebook.
Yeah, so Facebook, the most popular thing on the planet, with more people getting online than...
What about Jesus? Knows. Isn't he more popular?
I think there's probably more people on Facebook now than people who follow Jesus.
How many of those counts are real? How many of those people believe in Jesus?
Yeah,
are real?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh,
real Christians.
So the definitive list of what everyone likes on Facebook, the most and least popular interests on Facebook as revealed by its new preferred audience tool. So I didn't even know that it exists.
You know what? Podcast Viewfinder is number two.
Yeah, right behind Jesus.
Except we didn't...
We didn't create it.
We don't have one.
So you ready for this? You want to hear some of them?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Number one celebrity. Who do you think it is?
I'm going to go with Taylor Swift.
You're so wrong. Justin Bieber.
JB.
186 million people audience size.
Good job, Biebs.
I know. Do you know who number two is?
No.
Not Taylor Swift. Jimmy Page. I don't know who that is.
Jimmy Page? He's
That helps me not at all.
Jimmy Page is from... Oh, man. I'm going to mess it up because I always... Led Zeppelin. Yeah, he's the Led Zeppelin founder. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, no.
Because I would say the wrong one. I said that in church one day, and I thought people were going to murder me. Because I was like, Jimmy Page from...
They destroyed
not from
car.
Led Zeppelin. What's the other... Like, I don't know. I said from something else, and they're like, it's not... I was like getting yelled at.
Okay. That's funny.
All right, I'm going to try this again.
Third time.
So, what about...
So, but it's only going to be a little bit. Okay,
2016 presidential candidates. Who's number one?
2000 what?
16 presidential Hillary. Candidates. No,
Trump.
Donald Trump. By a lot. Hillary's like number eight on that list.
Okay. All right, so we're live now. Okay.
Hey, what up? Welcome.
This game's awesome. All right.
Guess what the most positive verbs and emotions are. What's number one?
What?
What's number one positive verb? On Facebook.
The most positive verb on Facebook?
Yeah.
Love? Love is a verb.
Yeah, love. Love is a verb. It's an action.
Speaking of love, some people are giving us some love. They're liking
it. Nice.
Okay. So, hey, sorry people. I think it's working now, but I'm using my data, so I don't know how long we're going to keep it on here. We'll just do a few segments. What up? All right, so.
Pieces.
This is Austin, for those who don't know.
Hey, it's Austin.
So we're.
Hey, Austin.
Hey, Austin.
All right.
Austin.
Okay, so Jimmy Page is up there. He's number two on
Number two on Facebook's most preferred.
Okay, what else? Give me some
more.
All
right, so the positive verb you said, and guessed it right, love. Love is the most popular thing out there. But close to it is life. Like those are really
life is
high
a
up
verb?
There. Life. Verb or emotion. I don't know.
Okay.
Friendship, number three. Happiness, number four. Gratitude, number five. LOL, number 10. Negative verbs. Guess which one's the most negative verb or emotion?
Hate.
Nope, boredom.
Boredom?
People are just bored.
Really?
Yeah. Like, what are you going to... You'll probably get bored later, right?
Look, I can see that because a lot of our students will be like, I'm bored.
I'm bored.
HMU, hit me up.
You know, boredom's probably the worst, right? I mean, you hate boredom.
I don't.
No, you don't. You don't get bored. He lives his life on the edge.
I love boredom because at this point in my life, I'm like, you got two kids, I work, I got all this stuff going on. I'm like, oh.
Boredom usually means rest.
Yeah. If I equalize those two, I don't know. If I equate boredom with rest, then I like boredom. So that means I'm not doing stuff. All right.
Let's see. Guess what the most hipster interest is?
I don't know.
Unusual eBay listings, and it has an audience of zero. Get it? Because hipster is not... Yeah, it's a real hipster thing. Guess what the number three is?
I don't know.
It's Massage Envy Spa Hoboken.
Hoboken?
Yeah, it has one person who cares about it.
Okay.
A list of Google hoaxes and Easter eggs, number one. 420, the number, is number four.
Just, okay.
Applebee's... Amon in Jordan has 20 people.
I think Applebee's in general. I don't like Applebee's. I don't know why.
History of Internet Explorer has 30.
What?
So there you go. That's just some of the most preferred things. Yeah.
What
so
number did you say 420 was?
420 was
number four.
Number four. Yeah.
Do you see the post that they've had to replace road signs with 419.9 lately because people have been stealing all the 420 signs?
What?
Oh.
Why do they do that?
Because.
What does 420 mean? Do you know? What's the significance?
I think it's like
a drug
specific
thing.
Time to do drugs or something like
really?
That.
How would you guys know that? Kind of weird.
Because we work with students, all right?
Oh, what does that mean?
I mean, I'm hoping I'm out of here in the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, right? Oh, man, we know what Austin's up to.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
All right, hey, it's time. I'm going to talk.
Oh.
It's time for Florida Weebles.
Oh,
all right.
You're
like,
you're so
okay.
Weird.
Here's why. So, this is but great. My like forward-facing camera is better than the back-facing camera.
That's a problem.
Why is that? Do I have, like, it's like really
maybe
foggy.
Maybe it's got a smudge on it. Do you ever clean it off?
No, never.
There you go.
Okay, I'm going to try cleaning it while...
You're going to clean it with your finger? You're making it worse.
Smudging it.
I got rid of the man bun and I got this going on. So Florida foibles. Usually we make fun of Florida and all the stupid stuff that goes on. This time, this is a positive one, but it's still crazy. So, James, tell us what happened.
So, you know...
You found this.
I did. I did. And it made national news. So, some lady... And this happens to us all. Police officers, they just drive fast. So she sees a police officer driving fast, and what does she do? She's like, I'm going to follow this guy. I'm going to pull him over. So she follows him forever, and she actually video records herself talking. She's like, I'm going like 80, and I can't catch him. And she was in a 30, all right? So going 80 and a 30. She probably should have got pulled over. But the cop was in front of her, so he couldn't. And then she eventually catches up with him and like waves him over and says, hey, I wanted to pull you over because you were going a little fast there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how fast I was going. I'm trying to get to work.
Yeah. Okay. How do you're a cop. So how do you not know how fast you're going?
I don't look That's at it.
What?
I don't look at the speedometer.
The speedometer.
If this were last year, she would have gotten a ticket for chasing him down.
Yeah.
With all the police situations last year.
Yeah, so, okay. So, you said do two wrongs make a right.
I know.
So she's speeding to
catch him.
I was
reading in comment section.
Oh, comment, okay.
So, in the comment section, because you have people saying, oh,
when you
know,
read it, you said it, so you...
I did, you're right. I did say it. So, yeah, and they're like, oh, two wrongs don't make a right. She should have been speeding. Plus, cops are trained to drive fast. I mean, their vehicles can handle it. I mean, she was in a minivan.
But they're trained to drive fast when there's an emergency so they can get to the emergency and help people out, right? They're not trained to drive...
I'm sure they can drive fast when there's not an emergency.
Right. Well, that's the problem, because are they above the law? Like,
is it getting cold in here?
Yeah.
Like, I'm freezing.
Yeah, because you're getting nervous. You're getting nervous because I'm talking about real stuff.
Okay.
No. So, but... Right, so there's... So this goes back to worldview. So my mentality is if I... like hold a certain position or role, then I'm kind of above, like right. So if I'm a worker, they can see you eating pretzels.
I was on the floor.
James is just like picking stuff up on the floor. All right, so say I work like for a concert place.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, okay, well I can let somebody sneak in. Like if I like, oh man, my friend really wants to come see this concert, so I can open the door and let him in, sneak him in. Right? So,
that's different. That's involving somebody else. So, that's like me getting behind my friend and driving fast so that nobody pulls him over.
Now, what if your friend's riding with you to work?
Now, what about me sneaking in myself because I work there and getting behind the scenes? Because I'm like, I work here. I can do whatever.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
That, I think, is a more fair comparison.
All right, yeah, you're right. Okay, so.
And then I'd be like, yeah, I get privilege. All right?
Yeah. So cops, or at least this guy, and like somebody did a piece like exposing like over 300 cops, like based on like toll cameras or something. But they said, they said this is a problem with police officers that they like speed when they're not on duty because you're not gonna get pulled over, right? Who's gonna, like, cops not gonna pull you over and be like, hey, you were speeding. So
not sometimes cops pull over, other cops over.
But then they don't give them tickets, though. Do they?
I don't know. There are stories. Hey!
I don't know. Yeah.
And I would think that most people would just give the cop the benefit of the doubt and just think he was just had somewhere to go, just didn't want to turn his sirens on.
Yeah, like, they're trying to approach a scene without flashing the lights, because sometimes they do that.
Sneak
where they
up
won't,
on you.
They do. They've got like a drug bust they're going to.
Now, I have seen them driving really fast without sirens on. I mean, without the noise, but the lights are going. So you know to get over. And that's usually when they're doing the drug bust or whatever.
Yeah.
So, now, okay.
And how about this? Okay. How about this? I'll defend
careful.
This with this one.
Yeah.
Maybe they're addicted to driving fast. All right, if I'm a cop, and that's what I do for a living, I'm used to it. It's like a norm for me. I drive fast. It's hard for me to not do it anymore.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it right. I mean, just that could be like, oh, alcoholic. Yeah, I just like to drink a lot, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it because that's just what I do. Yeah, you can't. That's the dumbest argument I've ever heard.
I'm sure there's dumber arguments out there.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, that's probably true. But so I just want to be careful because I love police officers and what they do. Your brother is one of your brothers.
He never drives fast.
That's the entire audience that's watching.
All the cops.
Well, there is a big thing about the police boycotted Hateful Eight. Because what Quentin Tarantino said about, he said he made some comments like bashing cops. Huh. And so like all the police force didn't go out and they're taking credit for why his movie's not doing well.
Oh.
So they're like, well, you got millions of cops and you got their families and all that stuff. And
well, my brother already saw it, so oops. But that was before the boycott.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, right. That's the night my car was broken into.
Yeah, that's why you shouldn't have gone. You should have boycotted a movie. Your car wouldn't have got broken into.
I didn't say I went to it. So, I just said that was the night my car was broken
But yeah,
into.
So just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, right? Like if you're, like nobody's above the law. That's the thing. Like even policemen like have, and that, well, that's kind of what the big deal is like the past couple months, even year or so, is where, yeah, policemen have been getting in trouble because they've been doing stuff that kind of goes outside of what they're supposed to do and how they administer justice and all that.
Shooting people.
That's
what I was thinking that you're talking about.
Well, yeah, that and just the police brutality and all that stuff.
Yeah, taking so, it.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they do stuff to the extreme and now people are filming it and getting stuff. And, okay. So some of that stuff is taken way out of context.
Yeah.
So there's some of you like, and because there was one, like a guy pulls up and he like rolls down his window just a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that one.
He's like, and then they put on the bottom screen, it is not law, like, according to the law, I don't have to roll my window down this much. And the guy's like, hey, come out of the car. And he's like, I don't have to get out of the car. He's like, well, let me see your ID. You know, and he keeps doing stuff like almost to provoke them.
Yeah.
And like he never says anything that's like provocative, that's provoking them. But like for the most part, he's just like, okay, I'm doing this stuff. And it was, I don't know. Yeah, he does stuff to kind of like frustrate them and force them to like be mad at him, right?
Yeah.
And so I think they eventually end up breaking his window.
They did. Yeah. Then they noticed he was filming it.
Well, and just as popular as the videos of cops shooting people are the videos of all the people trying to make cops look stupid by knowing the laws and just trying to pick fights.
And that's dumb too. So but nobody's above the law.
Well, the thing that never makes the news, it's only this sort of stuff, but you're like, how many cases is it the opposite way?
Right. Well, a guy in my small group, Aaron McCormick, I'll say his name, because he was not on duty. He was off duty, but he was in his car, I think driving home or something, and he heard the call. Like that somebody, like a guy had OD'd, and so he went and he had like some special, there's like this test market drug or something. He injected the guy, saved the dude's life.
Wow.
Good job, Officer McCormick. It was awesome. Yeah, and so that was on Facebook. But then, and this is what makes me so mad, because then people are like, well, why are we saving those people? But the cops aren't allowed to carry insulin so that, like, if somebody's in a diabetic coma, they can't inject it in. Like, well, yeah, like they're not... I don't know. Yeah, because you can be like, well, they're not doctors, and they don't know. Like, if you're going to get to somebody, if they're in a diabetic coma, you're not going to necessarily know that.
Yeah.
I can't carry everything.
What?
I can't carry everything to save everybody.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they're not, but I think this is, like, a specific drug for, like, cops to use, like, in case that, because I think they deal with that more than
drug overdose.
Yeah, so, okay, hey, thanks, Periscope. Viewers, I'm going to turn this off.
All right, see you later.
All right.
Data.
Stop bragging. Yeah. I don't even know what happened. I don't even know. I think it might have cut out sometime.
well.
Yeah.
Who knows? You just keep messing with it.
Okay.
So, but yeah.
What?
Yeah. You know, cops.
I'm very grateful for our police officers, and the ones that I know are great guys, and they do follow the law and all that stuff. And so,
yeah.
But I think cops get the bad rap because it is more of a public thing. But I think a lot of people do this in their jobs and all this stuff. And students that are listening, like, there's stuff you do at school like that you get away with because you know you can get away with it. And so it's the same thing in this situation. But I just thought it was funny that this lady pulls the guy over. And he's like, hey. he walks up to the car, and she goes, the reason I pulled you over is really funny. Like, I laugh.
That's a long time. So. But automatically, you go, and this is human nature, you go in defense mode, right?
Oh, yeah. He's like, I didn't know I was doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. Think I was. But, that was your opinion.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, I'm going to work. You have anything else? He's like, no, I just want to let you know that. And he's like, because he said you can take my badge number and stuff. He's like, no, I just want, like, you set the example. That's what I did. Like,
yeah.
One, she had a really annoying voice, and I don't agree with what she did. But it was one of those things, like, she said, you set the example. And this goes back to our worldview. Because if you believe that there's something greater out there than yourself, then you're trying to get people to go towards that thing. And so we believe that Jesus is that example for us. And so if I'm going to follow Christ, then I need to set that example so other people follow. If they follow my example, then they'll be following Christ's example because of how I live my life. Now, that is not always true. And that's the thing, like, if anybody followed anybody around, you're going to catch them doing bad stuff. And so this lady, yeah, just because she's, like, following him, she's like, I'm driving 80 miles an hour. I couldn't keep up with you. And he's like, all right, you're under arrest.
I was hoping. No, that would have been funny.
Yeah.
That would've been that you were following me very quickly.
So, okay, this is kind of a little more serious, kind of sad note, but it has a lot to do with worldview. The chef, world's best chef, died this week at the age of 44. Mm-hmm. He was in charge of a Swiss restaurant dubbed the best in the world, and he was found dead in his home on Sunday in a suspected suicide. So here's where the worldview part comes in. If you are, like, our goal in life usually is to get good at stuff, right? Like, we want to be, like,
if I could be the best, then I would totally be the best. I mean, people want to, like, get better.
Yeah. And so here he is. He's the best in the world. His restaurant is dubbed the best. And so therefore, since he's the chef of the restaurant, he's got to be the best.
Yeah.
So Chef Benoit Villier, I probably said his last name wrong. He's 44 years old, ran the restaurant de la Hotel de Ville in Crissier near the Swiss city of... Okay, who cares? All right. But it had 3 Michelin stars, which I don't know because I'm not a cuisine guy, and was voted the finest in the world by La Liste, a French initiative in which the international jury ranks the world's top 1,000 restaurants. So they go to the top 1,000 restaurants, and his was number 1 in the world. And so, okay, but there's something... So 6 months earlier, the owner of the restaurant died in a bicycle accident. So that might have contributed to... nobody really knows what happened because they're like, because people are like, he was a brilliant man.
Yeah.
He's a student that I loved. I see no reason for such an act, such talent and amazing capacity for work. He gave the impression of being perfect. And so, but it's just interesting because, I mean, that happens with like the Oscar people. Like, I mean, Robin Williams, somebody brought that up, like, comedian, like actor, like pretty successful.
Yeah.
So, and like all acting, you're going to have some bad stuff here and there. But, and you look at, I mean, Owen Wilson, like, oh, a comedian, funny guy. He tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Artie Lang, another comedian. I do not agree with him in any way whatsoever. But he's another guy. Like, you look at these people that are famous and have, like, all this stuff that we think is success, whether it's acting or the best restaurant in the world, all this stuff. And then it's like, oh, they tried to commit suicide. This guy did. And you're like, what? Where's the disconnect? Why does this not make him happy? What do you think?
I mean, it's just
you or Austin, either one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think it can kind of relate to, like, brilliant people, like typically in like a brilliant mind type of person, but in to be the best at anything or approaching the best, it's probably relatively lonely, like, platform because there's less people there.
Ah.
So there's only a few people that maybe could even relate to you, and maybe you're not close with them. And
so if you become the best, do you think that's a big... you brought up a good point, because you become... It's lonely at the top, so they say. But but if he, like, reaches that, and he's like, okay, I've gotten to this place, there's nowhere else for me to go, because I am the best. But, like, but is the pressure to stay there, is that the other thing that, like, I mean, is there so much pressure on you to keep doing the best?
Because everybody's aiming for you. I mean, you're the new target.
Right.
And if you fail, You've only got...
I think there'd be a lot of pressure there, yeah.
Like, people only criticize you from here. Like, oh, man, like, you messed up.
Yeah.
Because they can't be like, oh, you're doing great. You're almost as good as so-and-so. No. You're what everybody else compares to. And eventually they're going to be like, that guy's better than you.
I watched Ratatouille a few weeks ago, and I know how hard it is to be in the restaurant business. Yeah. Especially if you don't have a talking rat that guides you with your hair.
That's all it takes.
But I just thought it was interesting because, I mean, we have students that listen to this podcast and even parents and stuff. And so as you talk to your students about this, like that's one of the things that, like, just because you're the best doesn't mean that that is happiness. Like, that doesn't mean that you're going to have a lot of success and joy in life. It just means you worked really hard for something and you achieved something, but that doesn't bring you joy.
Yeah.
Okay, this reminds me. So, no, I had
something just lit up in your face.
So last Thursday, I got to go on a field trip with my daughter. So the process of getting there was funny because I was like, hey, I'm going on a field trip with you tomorrow. She's like, I don't want you to go. And I want mommy to go. And I said, what? Since she's four. She's in pre-K. So I was like, why don't you want to go? And or why do you want me to go? She goes, you're too silly. She's like, you're always making jokes. And I'm like, wait, you're four. This isn't supposed to happen until like at least middle school, maybe high school.
That's bad. By the time she hits first grade, it's done.
I'm too silly. She like walks around the house in her underwear still. Like,
it's gonna come back to haunt her.
Yeah. So you say I'm too silly, Quincy. Take this. No. So I went. We went to there.
So you got to go.
There's a point. Yeah, I still went.
She didn't stop you?
She can't stop me. I'm the dad. So I showed up. She was happy to see me. We went through the Children's Museum with these preschoolers. It was fun. But there's a face painting station. And so I painted, her teacher did, painted this big curly mustache on me. She had like a full like face paint on her and all this stuff. So I had this big curly mustache on me. And I drive home with it because I wanted to show my other daughter because it would be funny. So I get out of the car. It's like mid-afternoon on Thursday or whatever. I'm walking into my house and my next-door neighbor is like out in his car. And so I'm like, I just say, hey, or whatever. And then we get to talking. And so I walk over there and I'm like, we had actually like a really serious conversation. I had this giant mustache. We were talking about relationships and marriage and just all this stuff. But he brought up this good point. So here's where it goes back to the joy thing. But he said, there's a difference between pleasure and joy. And he said, a lot of people are seeking pleasure, but they think it's joy.
Yeah.
And he said, but when you seek joy, he's like, pleasure follows. But if we're just seeking pleasure, we're never going to have joy. And I thought that was interesting. Like, I never thought of that before. Because he's talking about it specifically in the context of marriage. But he's like, you're seeking pleasure, and even in relationships, he said, a lot of times, because relationships that are based mainly on physical attraction and all that stuff, he's like, you're just looking for pleasure, and instead, like, you're looking for joy, but you're seeking pleasure, and so the joy's not going to be there because the pleasure goes away.
Yeah,
he's like, I mean, it's a momentary thing, and even in marriage, because he said, like, most of the time in marriage, like it's, you're saying this last week, Jane, like, you got to work for it. Like, relationships are work. Like, it takes work on both of your parts, but if all you're looking for is pleasure, then you're not going to find it, even in life. Like, if you're just pursuing pleasure, you may find it temporarily, but it's that joy that the Lord gives. And so I thought that was a really interesting thing. So this guy may have had the pleasure of being, like, on the top, but the joy, I mean, maybe the joy wasn't there, or his friend died. We don't know the circumstances. I don't know anything about this guy's life, other than this small article on CNBC.
Yeah.
So we don't really know the circumstances, but you think of somebody that's at the top. He's got friends, he's got people he can talk to, he's got stuff, but instead, he thinks the only way out is to end his life.
And yeah, there must not have been enough joy in his life to keep him nailed down. And so he's like, well, I'm done.
Right.
Yeah. So.
All right. That's a sad moment. No, but it's an interesting way of looking at life. So,
Well, I mean, so many people are putting so much pressure, like, they always think if I can get to this next level.
Yeah, if I'm the...
If I'm even the 10th best. Yeah. Okay, you get to the 10th best. Well, okay, that worked for a while and I'm glad I'm here, but that's not good enough now. Now I need to be the 9th best, the 8th best. And we're always seeking but it never satisfies.
Why? Why doesn't it satisfy?
Because it's the wrong thing that I'm going after. It could never have satisfied in the first place.
Right.
So, and so that's when our worldview comes into play, and especially biblical worldview, when we say you've got a God-sized hole in you that all these things in the world cannot fill. All the pleasures, all the people, all the popularity. I mean, it's all fleeting.
Yeah.
And so the only person who can fulfill that is God Himself. And yeah. And that's, I mean, that's a perspective we got to keep.
Yeah. Because if your joy is in anything else, it's not really joy from the Lord, which is the sustaining joy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Okay. We'll switch subjects. Oh, God. I know. And moving on. No, but I saw Kung Fu Panda 3.
Well, that's a good way to... Right there, segue.
Down here. All right, over here. I'll play a jingle or something between. All right, so Kung Fu Panda 3 came out this week. James, you told me you were going to see it.
And
you
said,
you got to go see this.
Nick to go. He's going to make a date of it, and it's going to be great. And he's like, I've got to get up early. And then I was working on a project. Yeah, it was Friday night. I had a timeline. A deadline. Sorry, not a timeline. I had a deadline. I had to finish this project. I can't mention it on the air because this person might be listening. It's a present.
Okay.
And so I gave up.
Gave it away already.
I gave up going to
chocolate
see it.
Chocolate for Lent. Oh.
No, I gave up this so I could get this project done for my fiance. So, yeah, and it's pretty cool, but, yeah, I'm going to watch it. So, you watched it.
So, James got engaged, and his brother didn't know until he listened to the podcast. What? And you live in the same house, you and your brother, you live, man. When he said that, I was like, he's got to be joking. Yeah. Nope, not joking.
Because Luke doesn't pay attention to anything in life.
Yeah. So, the opening quote was from Kung Fu Panda 3.
No, Luke does pay attention. He always talks to me about stuff.
All right, yeah, except you don't talk to him about getting married.
Not the second most important decision of my life.
All right, so our opening quote in today's show, if you only do what you can do, you'll never be better than what you are. And Poe says, but I like who I am. And Master Shifu says, you don't even know who you are. Ooh. And it was good. Like, so all the Kung Fu Panda movies are really about Poe trying to find his identity, like who he is, because he struggles with that. Because he's like, he knows he's not as good as the other Kung Fu masters. He's like, you're the five, you're the best, or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're like, but he has strength too. Like, he has things that he's good at. So he has to learn. So this one, okay, I'll try not to spoil too much of it because you guys haven't seen it. But in this one, like, they deal with the spiritual realm quite a bit. So it starts off in the spiritual world. And so in the spiritual world, though, like, that's what they say happens after you die. You go to the spiritual world. And so there's a bad guy there, and he tries to come back to the land of the living. Mm. And so it's just this idea, like this Eastern mysticism, right? It's like this Buddhist thought, like, okay, there's another, like, there's a spiritual realm, and they talk a lot about chi. Not cheese. I would like cheese, but you like your chi, your inner chi, and like channeling the mysteries and power of the universe and stuff. So that's what, like, that's where it gets kind of weird, like, because I didn't know that going into it, and so, like, I'm watching this with my kids. Sunny, she just is like,
she's
Chinese, panda bears. Yeah, she's like, I got more cheese than Poe. So, cheapo. But I think the movie itself, like, wrestles with that, and it does that quite, because in the first one, with that turtle guy or whatever, he's like, he goes, I've got really bad news, and he's like, there's no good or bad news. There's only news. And he's like, this guy escaped from jail and he's coming to kill us all. He's like, that is bad news. Yeah, you're like, okay. Yeah. So you admit. And then this one, it was, this is from the trailer. He says, Master Shifu, good time, bad time. And he says, time is illusion. There's only the now. He says, so now is a good time? And he's like, but they kind of wrestle with it in the thing. But, like, overall, like, some of the themes, self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
Discovering who you are, like, what it means to be important in life. Like, to be needed, to be...
But that also, like, begs the question. Because because this is what a lot of people deal with, purpose.
That's right.
I hear that all the time. What's my purpose? Like, I know I was made for this one specific thing, to do this one specific thing, or to be this job, like, doing this job. And there's this, there's still this, I'm searching for fulfillment in something that I could, like, become or get to.
Yeah.
And you see this in churches, too, because it's like, well, if I pray more, if I do more, I will get to what I'm supposed to be. I mean, even Christians fall into this trap. Yeah. And what's interesting, because think about God, like, you're stuck, and so am I, we're stuck in this state of being, like, always becoming, sorry.
Yeah.
We're stuck in that. We can't, there is no, like, we haven't, we're always trying to become. Whereas God is, like, he doesn't change. He is.
Right.
And so that's a totally different thing. When you look at God, you're like, he doesn't exist the way I do, where, you know what, 20 years ago, I was a totally different person. And you're like, well, I don't feel like I was totally different. But you are. You're always changing and becoming something different. But yeah, like, it's this whole idea of there's something in the future that I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to reach. I'm supposed to become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you shouldn't just be complacent.
No. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, so it's not like, oh, well, I'm not going to try to figure that out, but...
But what are you trying to become? Like, because a lot of people go after the wrong thing, right?
The best chef in the world.
Right, the best chef. That's what I'm supposed to be.
There's an opening.
Man! How would you like to get that news? Like you're number two. It's like, you're number one now. You're like, yes! And it's like, the other guy died. Oh, well, I don't care!
I know.
Dude, we better watch out for that number two guy who became number one, because he'd be like, ugh.
I got it.
It's going to be a trend.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, but, be number one.
It's bad news. But yeah, so he was trying to be anything. Like,
right.
I mean, my goal is to be the best.
So
it was.
So but this movie, I would be careful, like, about taking younger kids to it, because it is like, I mean, it presents a different worldview than what I believe. And so, like, just either prepare them ahead of time or have that conversation afterward. Because we talked to Quincy afterward, and like, because in the movie, their palms glow when they're, like, channeling their chi energy or whatever. She's like, oh, maybe Panda's hands really glow. We're like, no, that's just made up. She's like, you don't know. Maybe Panda's hands do glow. I was like, maybe they don't. Quit telling me. You're four. Yeah. Being my boss.
4-year-old. She basically is. Yeah, well, that's huge, though. Because that will influence people, and it does influence people, and you don't really read into it, but, I mean, that's what a lot of Christians are trying to inject, kind of that mysticism, because I want more of that spiritual realmness of it, and so
yeah,
where I'm at doesn't have enough, so maybe if I take some of these Buddhist influences, I'm going to pray, but I'm also going to meditate in this way, I'm going to do yoga. And
yeah, well, this is the opening of The Good Dinosaur, the short film. Did you see The Good Dinosaur? You don't watch kids' movies, do you?
I don't watch a lot of, like, movies or TV.
Why
I watch
not?
YouTube videos.
Oh, YouTube videos.
He's a YouTuber. He's got a YouTube channel. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got,
like,
it's just random, but...
Wait, if people want to follow you on YouTube, Wait, is your stuff appropriate for...
It's... So, like, I run at USI, and so it's just my runs and my adventures with my family to other states and stuff.
Okay.
It's literally just my name, just Austin Pryor.
Austin Pryor.
P-R-Y-O-R.
P-R-Y. So Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N, P-R-Y-O-R. So do you have, like, a big following?
I think I have a whopping 12 followers or subscribers.
Oh, there you go. Maybe 13 after this. Yeah.
Or 14, depending. I don't even get
on
YouTube.
I'm not subscribing. I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
I can't figure out YouTube.
The only reason it came on was for self-promotion.
Okay. So.
Yeah. I'm doing
a lot. Hey, guys. Well, we've got billions of followers.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Just subliminally say my name every few seconds.
Austin Pryor. B-R-Y-R.
Austin Pryor.
All right. So you can follow Austin Pryor on his YouTube channel. I think I have a YouTube channel, but I don't even know.
You don't make
what
the videos.
Not anymore. All right. Yeah. So this comes from Jared Elrod. He started following me on Twitter, and he's a youth pastor guy. So Jared Elrod, thanks for listening. I don't know if he listens, but thanks. So but he posted an article that he wrote on youthfactor.us. And it was why Miley Cyrus and Fetty Wap, Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, Lil Dicky, and even Snoop Dogg are doing a better job shepherding your students and how to fix it. So he's talking about, when it comes to youth ministry stuff, but he talked about the influence. So he said, you get to preach to your students 2 to 3 times a week at best. So for us, it's like for high school students, we have one chance, and then middle school, two. So it says the artists that your students listen to give them 3 to 8 hours per day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that is huge because, I mean, people are consuming more and more because I'm bored.
Yeah. And, well, and like with headphones, like they're like, we got students always even at church. Yeah, they have headphones.
Like, they're listening to you. Nah.
And then he says,
they're just listening to the podcast.
They better be listening to our podcast. And then he says this, and to top it off, they are preaching on issues that are more relevant to your students and connecting with them in a more meaningful and effective way. And he says, I hope that makes you mad. Not, I'm going to quit reading this post mad, but like, I have to do something about this. So do you agree with that statement? Do you think pop culture is reaching our students better than we are?
Yeah.
Why?
Absolutely.
I mean, because...
Well, he said absolutely. All right, let's hear it. Okay.
Well, I think they're hitting the emotional. Like, as the generations go, people are more driven by how they feel than ever. It's not by, as my brother would say, virtue.
Yeah.
People are not virtuous anymore. It's how I feel, and then I'm going to treat you. I might take into account how you feel, but that's only because... I don't want you to step on how I feel.
Yeah.
And so it's like my morals, my emotions, they dictate everything. And so there's nothing that's constant anymore. It's how I feel. Just like the boredom one. That's the most negative thing.
Yeah.
I'm bored. So I'm going to like...
I'm going to fill my... Yeah. I'm bored. Somebody entertain me. Somebody fill my time up. I need somebody to...
And so I think that's huge.
So Austin, you said absolutely.
Yeah. He's pretty confident.
Yeah. Why? Why is that? Why is the church, or specifically youth ministry, not reaching students like the culture?
Well, I mean, I think it's just all about just the presence of how accessible it is to find that kind of stuff versus... So, I mean, that lifestyle can be desirable to a lot of people depending on your values and things, and where, like, when you come to church, you don't know if you're going to get a slap on the wrist and, like, a call to arms, or if you're going to get, like... some like a revival like worship service. So I mean, it's almost like in real life where you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. So with the internet being everywhere, I mean, you can look at anything you want,
and in they're time,
way more accessible than...
That's true. So
and here's an interesting fact with the internet. They say there's going to be 21 billion connected devices, things that are connected to the internet. So basically everything.
Yeah, Barbie dolls are even connected to the internet now.
But, I mean, students and young people.
What, like 7 billion people?
And even older people, because this is influencing up. Like, you can look at older people, and they're like, I mean, students are binge-watching, but it's flowing up to older generations, because they're discovering this entertainment, like...
I can watch all my pyramids!
Oh, like, I could do this instead of the old-time... TV where I don't like this, so I can turn it off. I'm gonna do something else. Now I can just do whatever, whenever. I've got it at my fingertips, and I can choose what I consume. So it's almost like students are always, it's pleasure seeking.
Yeah,
and you're always high.
Yeah, you choose what you want to listen to.
Exactly. I don't have to listen to what I don't want to anymore. So I'm gonna go after only what I want to. Where the church might not be saying my message anymore. So I can turn you off. I can tune you off, and I will tune in to what only I want to hear.
Yeah. So Jared, this guy wrote the article. He said, hey, here's what you need to do about it. He said, go on. Like, I guess there's a way to see what your students are listening to on Spotify. He's like, go on to Spotify, follow them, and just listen to what they're listening to. And he went through, like, a couple examples. Like he said, okay, he was talking about the Miley Cyrus album and that song... We Can't Stop, Miley Cyrus. So he said the phrase, like, we do what we want to. And he talked about Romans 13:1. He said, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. And then then the next verse, like, we can say what we want. And he said, all right, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear.
Yeah.
So, but he goes through and does that with a lot of different things. And so I thought that was interesting. I would craft sermons differently than that. Like, I wouldn't just go through each line and be like, hey, here's a verse that combats that. But, like, maybe talk about, like, one of the themes and kind of go through that or something, or bring it up. But he said, be careful. He's like, don't abuse this. He said, if you do this, your students will block you and you will ruin a great window into their daily lives. So he said, Don't abuse this. Don't harass students about what they're listening to that day, and don't call them out in a service. I'm like, you're listening to this.
Yeah, they'll just pull out completely.
Yeah, because I remember one time we did like a like a talent show here, and yeah. and students were supposed to submit their songs beforehand, and they didn't. Not all, well, one didn't, and she was going to do this dance, and it was to a Kesha song. Yeah. And so, like, when it started, I was like, I think it was Kesha. It, yeah. But it was something that, like it started, and I didn't realize they were going to play it, because I was in the front, and like, some like she went up to the people in the back and was like, here's the song. And so I started playing, and everybody in the room was, like, singing along really loud and stuff. Yeah. But then there was, like, because you could kind of tell there were some people that were like, well, this is church, and you can't. Yeah. And so... So I talked about it the next time. I was like, okay, let's talk about what happened. I said, yeah. I said, you know, some of you were like upset that we played the song or whatever, but I said, you all sang along. Like, regardless of if it should be played at church or not, like, you all know these words and these lyrics, and you sang them loudly yeah. as she danced or whatever. And I said, like, and I was, I don't know whether it took or not, but I said, hey, I don't want you to feel bad at this because... Everybody knows the song. Like, I'm not calling you out on it, but it was yeah. something that, like, everybody knows it, but then there's some people that are like, well, I'm better than this, and, like, no, you're not. You know the song as well, and so that's what we want to do with this podcast, and that's what Jared in this article is saying, like, hey, your students are going to listen to this stuff. He said you could tell them to only listen to Christian music, but he's like, you don't do that, so why would they? And he yeah. said, so try to... like, meet them where they're at and yeah. say, hey, this is... And so, I thought that was good advice. You got to be careful with that, though, because, like, oh, if your students are watching terrible stuff, that doesn't mean you go watch it, too. Like, yeah. oh, yeah, well, I'm going to go watch pornography because some of my students are and I need to connect with them, right?
Yeah, yeah, like, that's yeah. not a good thing.
I got to do heroin.
Got to try
yeah.
it all out.
Yeah, so so I would say that. But, yeah, but just going through and reading the lyrics and, like, okay... Because he goes through and, like, looks at what his students are listening to and is like, oh, they're listening to these things. Here's what these messages are saying, and here's what the Bible says about those things. So he's implementing worldview into his speaking, which is great. And so good job, Jared. Thanks for listening if you listen. But that's youthfactor.us. He has a bunch of articles and other stuff up there. And so I appreciate what he has to say about how to... do some stuff. So if you're a youth pastor and you listen to this, he's also got an article about awesome dodgeball variations. I haven't read it yet. But,
nice.
But it's like how to play dodgeball in different ways. So they play it in a small enclosed room where there's lots of pictures on the wall. So maybe that's, maybe it's a break ball. I don't know. Hey, yeah. James, do you have anything else?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. With,
okay.
So, and this is where the difference between us and culture comes down. And this is great. And I love it. Because it's so true. With culture always changing and shifting, I can't depend on somebody to be dependable. Like, you might be act differently depending on your feelings. So there's no constant.
Yeah.
Whereas we can live our lives in constant because we have God. Like, we live according to the Word. And so this is who we proclaim who we are. We say, I follow Jesus. And so I'm going to live my life lining up with what He teaches, with Him being Lord. And so I think that's where... Christians beat out culture, because even though you're like, well, you're on the wrong side of it, culture's shifting so much under people's feet that I think when the crisis comes and the crisis hits, and it will,
yeah,
they'll be like, I can't depend on these or this.
In this,
or this
world, you will have trouble. Yeah,
yeah. I those people, they've been genuine and consistent the whole time,
right?
And that's why people have problems with Christians who say they're Christian but aren't, because it's like it's not consistent.
Yeah. You say this one thing, but you live a different way, and it's yeah. hypocrisy, yeah. So, Austin, any final thoughts?
Nope.
What, so, wait, what's your, do you have a favorite YouTube channel that you, like, do you watch video games? Because James' brother, Luke, says, like, he watches more video games on YouTube than he does play them.
I watch a little bit of everything, but I'm kind of obsessed with a guy named Casey Neistat. He's basically just, like, a daily vlogger who lives in New York and does awesome things.
Oh, like what's something that he does?
So, like, they had that big snowstorm on the East Coast the other day.
Yeah.
And so he, they put out a thing saying that you're not allowed to be outside and driving in New York, and he automatically goes and breaks that rule, and he gets a Jeep with some snowboards and has a Jeep dragging through New York with an American flag. And
yeah,
he just does all kinds of things.
It's awesome.
So, is that breaking the law? Like, if he... Like,
well, I think it technically is, but towards the end of the video, the NYPD pulls him over, and they pull up next to him, and they basically say, we've had a bunch of complaints, so we're just going to pretend like we're talking to you, But he's, like, kind of a big deal, so they're like, we like what you do, just be safe.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, I think it's illegal, but...
Now, think about that. Those are huge implications.
Yeah.
Letting popularity sway law and safety. So, I don't want to offend, or I don't want to get tons of people mad at me, so I am going to compromise.
A compromise, yeah.
Because of popularity.
Yeah, or, well, yeah, but, like...
Now above the law.
Is it
because if he was a normal person who didn't have a blog or something like that?
A vlog, it's a video blog.
But if he's just a normal person, people don't give him the benefit now because they're like, you're not like I don't idolize you.
Yeah.
You're not a big deal to me. You're just a normal person. Yeah, pull that guy over, give him a ticket.
Yeah,
should be doing that. Huge implications. Maybe next time we'll talk about it.
So, yeah. Okay, I was gonna talk about SoFlo. SoFlo. Like, I see a lot of his stuff on Facebook that comes up. He's like, he does a lot of stuff with, like, I mean, he does like social experiment stuff, but he'll be like, oh, here's a homeless guy, and his sign says, I need money for weed. And then there's like another homeless guy with a girl, and he's like, I need money for shoes for my kid or something.
Yeah.
And then he's like, look, all these people give to this. And then he's like, but wait until what happens. And then this lady that's a waitress that, like, is also homeless or something comes up and says, here's what I made today. He's like, oh man, this is an experiment. I'm going to give you all this money. But it's like, okay, I don't know how much I believe his stuff. Cause like, there's always these weird, cause every time he films it, there's like crazy stuff that happens. Cause he did one on, public feeding of babies, women feeding babies in public. And so it's like, but every time, every
kids.
Well, yeah, I know. I say every time because he's not going to just show footage of nobody saying anything. But like all these people were coming up saying stuff to this lady, and you're like, I don't know that would really happen. So I don't know if I believe his stuff. But I didn't know if you knew him or whatever. So
I mean, I've probably seen some of his stuff because I like the homeless stuff because it's always interesting to see that the most generous people are the people with the least.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff I think is true. Yeah.
It's always somebody who has almost nothing. It's the generous one.
So
I've probably seen him at some point or another.
But okay. So, all right. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Podcast Viewfinder. Episode
44,
the palindrome episode. James, what's your favorite palindrome? Quick.
282.
Okay, that's a number. Well, yeah, okay.
It doesn't qualify.
Your favorite palindrome?
I don't know.
Race car.
Race car is a good one. So my favorite one is a man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Nice. That's not so long. Wow. You did not come up with that on
your own. No, I didn't. That's one. I remember from middle school. I read a book on palindromes.
All right. Nice. Who does that? As you do.
Have a great day, everyone. We will see you next time on Podcast Viewfinder, episode 45.
Yeah.
Next week. All right. See ya. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Magic.
Podcast Viewfinder.